Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Do you look at this like it's a big week play, St. Louis, then going to Houston, or is it too early for that?
I'll use the quote, biggest game of the year tomorrow, and then the next day, and then the next day, and then the next day.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That's the manager, Craig Counsell, and he's right. You know, the big game is the most recent one, and everything you've done sets you up to play big games. So they got a week of big games. And for Mr. David, you were absolutely correct. Kevin apparently called back in. He meant 3-4 for the week.
Yeah,
would be good for the Cubs.
That's a low bar. It is for a team in first place, but I understand what he's saying. He's reacting to a really tough series against the Mariners and looking at a Cardinal team that's playing pretty well and then going on the road to play in Houston where the Astros are very good.
Yeah.
So I don't think you want to aspire to go 3-4. You want to have a winning record on the road, ideally, but it is understandable. You're at the point of the season where you're about the halfway point, and what Craig Counsell said there is why I believe – he is respected the way that he is and has accomplished what he has. This is his value. He does treat every game the same. He is not any different from one week to the next, from one game to the next. He has the ability to maintain a steadiness that you need from your manager because he doesn't go up and down too often. And sometimes we poke fun at his inability to get caught up in a moment. But somebody can't. Not everybody can get caught up in the moments. So I think his ability to do that gives you confidence that the Cubs can get through this week, weeks like this, and feel pretty good about where they are. It can't be disastrous, and you don't expect it to be prosperous. I think somewhere in between is where you're going to be.
We got a lot of people who want to check in. 312-644-6767. We'll start with Jeff, who is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Jeff, good morning.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Hey, Mully, exciting to see the White Sox actually play like a major league team and come back and win a game and have a closer that actually closes the game.
Well, he looked the part, didn't he? I'm just saying, when they brought him in, he did look like a closer. That was pretty cool.
He obviously did. I'm not sure, but I think Thursday, Mully, you talked the Halliburton injury maybe into existence. I think you mentioned his calf muscle injury is a precursor to a Achilles tear.
That was Mr. David, who we talked about the injury and about the possibility of it getting worse. And David said whenever you have a calf, the danger is whether or not. Now, I wasn't trying to suggest that he shouldn't play because you're in the NBA Finals, you make it to Game 7, he just survived Game 6.
No, but it's not the first time you've seen a calf injury lead to an Achilles tear.
It does happen.
Yeah.
And
unfortunate, but
it was unfortunate that I felt bad that we even talked about it since it did happen, right? You know what I mean? It's not something you want to be right about.
Put the whammy on them.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff. Good phone call.
The reason I called was pose this question to you. If Ben Brown starts pitching well and looks like a, you know, a good fourth or fifth starter, but Alcantara in June has got a 2.74 ERA and he seems to be coming around, if Miami said the only way you're getting him is if Ben Brown is involved, would you make the trade for Alcantara if both of those players are on the rise, knowing you have Alcantara for two more years or until 2007, but Ben Brown is a prospect that might be someone you want to keep?
That's a good question, Jeff. Thank you for the phone call.
I think it's an easy one.
I think it's easy, too.
Yeah, I think you make the trade.
I think you have to make the trade.
You have to make the trade. You're in a situation where you feel like this could be your year.
And Horton is the future. He's your big gun. And not that you don't appreciate what Ben Brown is doing.
Ben Brown has got a bright future, too. But if you're ranking your prospects.
If you're going to win World Series, you take the Cy Young winner for two more years as opposed to the if-come, right?
Sandy Alcantara has not had a great year. He's pitched better in June. Jeff's exactly right. But if you have an opportunity to get that kind of a pitcher at the top of your rotation, can you envision Sandy Alcantara starting game one or two of the playoff series for the Cubs if you trade for him? Yes. And if the answer isn't yes, you don't trade for him.
Right. I mean, I don't think it's a deal you would regret. Maybe, you know, in 5 years, it's like, oh, they had that guy. Why didn't they hang on to him? Well, they're trying to win in the right now. It's a different feel altogether.
Yeah, it's different priorities for different organizations who are on different timelines.
Would you trade Horton for him?
No, I would not.
You just expand like with a sentence as to why.
Okay. Well, I just want to give you my immediate reaction.
Because, I know.
Because I think you're talking about somebody who is a future ace, who is your draft pick, who came into your organization, and you are able to draft, develop, and enjoy his progress and his development. So I think that, to me, the priorities and the criteria is different when you're evaluating Cade Horton and you're evaluating Ben Brown.
I think that Cade Horton may have a Cy Young possibility in his future, which I don't right now see for Ben Brown unless he develops a third pitch and changes a little bit.
That's why the comparative ceilings are different. Yes. And when you don't have as high of a one for Ben Brown, I think you're more willing to part with him. You don't want to, but you have to give up something of value to get something in return.
Joe is also listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Joe.
Hey guys, I'm not a Sammy guy either, and I'm a Cubs fan of 50 years, and I can't stand him, and here's why. This is more than anything. This goes back to a story I remember Rick Sutcliffe talking about Greg Maddux when he got called up from the minors, and he had to win a game or he's going to get set back down, and it happened to be the game when Aaron Schau got hit Andre Dawson. And he plunked the guy and got kicked out of the game and got set down in the minors for 2 weeks. And that right there is the ultimate teammate. Well, that game in 2003 when Sammy walked off, that teammate was on the mound. That was Greg Maddux on the mound. And he walked out of that game. And except for the fact that he's a steroid user. And you can give Ernie Banks his 512 home runs back because he's the all-time Cub leader in home runs. That did it for me. That guy's a jerk.
Thanks, Joe. Good memories.
All right. Happy memories. Tony is in Streamwood. Hey, Tony.
What's up, Tony?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Tony.
Just got two little digs. That last guy, first of all, the 1998 season made so many people Cubs fans, made me a Cubs fan. I was 11 years old. That was probably one of the best seasons in that steroid era. You might as well hate every name in the 90s. Everybody did it. That's not play stupid. And I just want to say, for the Cubs pitching, I don't know why we're worried about third base so much. I mean, the starting pitching, we're bending, not breaking. Colin Reyes not holding up. He's not a starter. Horton's young. I love him. Do not trade him. And yes, if you can get Alcantara for Ben Brown, you do it in less than a heartbeat. That you don't think about that, because then your future sets up for next year. Say if Steele comes back, you got Imanaga, Steele, Alcantara, Horton, and Boyd sounds pretty good to me for the future and this year.
Thanks for the phone call. I'm worried about this year more than I'm worried about projecting next year's rotation, but it is a good point. I do think, as we said, the thought process is different when you're talking about Ben Brown versus Cade Horton. And yep, this is the season, though, you feel like you're still in a position to seize the opportunity that's there for you. And regardless of, well, it could be Florida. It could be a team we're not even thinking about. That you hope that there's somebody out there lurking that's once begging to make a deal to give you an ace, and may cost the Cubs a couple prospects. But I think it would be capital well spent.
You see, and I'm not arguing with you at all, David, but I think the team most likely, the team that would be, if somehow Arizona could start heading the wrong way,
yeah,
they don't have one. They got two guys that would help you. And the idea, and I'm not saying get both of them, but you could definitely get one of them. At this point, we don't have enough trade matches. So, you know, you talk about Miami. Yeah, that's a good one because they're out of it. But the number of teams that are out of it is too limited.
Right now, end of June,
yes,
too many teams are flirting with respectability,
yes,
convincing themselves, maybe fooling themselves that they can contend. And the Diamondbacks might be one of those teams. They're in a tough division. They're barely above 500. They're hovering. But they're a team that has a good pedigree and track record, and they have good management. They feel like they could maybe make a deal themselves to get back in it. You hope that's not the case, because they do have two pitchers the Cubs could definitely use.
No
one of them pitches against the White Sox on Wednesday.
Yes.
I think Zach Gallen's going against the Sox on Wednesday, according to probable pitchers, against the dreaded TBD for the Sox.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, the White Sox have a lot of injuries. They've got a lot of pitching issues going on right now. And that's why it was great that Aaron Civale, I know you don't appreciate it, did eat some innings, followed by
I love that.
It was good.
Hauser ate some innings too, but they won on that day.
Oh, they did win on that day, but they had to come back. They needed that big blast from your guy, Benintendi. He hit a little dinker that went under the pitcher's glove and drove in a run.
We saw
a
Benny bomb over the weekend. So
no, he hit one.
There was a Benny bomb.
He had two Benny bombs. He hit one last Thursday with Grand Slam, and then he hit one again Friday. But he came up with the bases loaded, and he basically grounded out. But the pitcher was trying to throw the ball before he fielded
it. Was that a swinging bunt?
It looked like a swinging bunt. That's a great description of it.
It
led to Vargas coming up. And even his double wasn't like he ripped the ball. He just stayed with the ball. He took a lot of pitches in that at bat. He had two strikes, and he was fending off some pitches. And then he stayed with one and ended up getting a double to drive in two more runs. And they won a game while trailing after seven innings for the first time this year.
First time this year, 38 previous tries, they were unsuccessful. They were 0 for 38, and then they came back. And Adrian Hauser deserved that because he pitched very well.
He did.
A day earlier, Aaron Civale, which you're referencing, pitched pretty well.
He pitched well enough to keep them in the game.
I'm still going to push back at this idea, and I know the way it works. But Civale, seven innings on Saturday, he gave up four runs by the second inning. Yesterday, Colin Ray, he eight innings, but he wasn't very good. We're congratulating pitchers being mediocre after they're not very good.
Who would you prefer to be your starting pitcher, Aaron Civale or Colin Ray?
Colin Ray.
Get out of here. You just won't make a trade. I'm desperately trying to get a trade here.
You want
to
unload Civale to somebody. You want to get something for that return. By the way, the guy who made the Civale trade necessary, I keep going on about Jacob Mizorowski.
Yeah.
I said he was
about
Skeens-like. It's all I'm talking about.
No, love him.
I do love him.
You love a good young pitcher. I'm not complaining.
On Wednesday in Milwaukee, I believe that he's matched up against Paul Skeens. Pirates,
is
Brewers.
That right?
Yes. Wednesday afternoon.
What has Skeens done comparatively?
Nothing. Nothing. He's living in the past. He's going to LSU games. He's watching his Tigers win the World Series, but nothing since.
That's pretty funny, honestly. 312-644-6767. We're talking about the Cubs. And, you know, I just think it underscores the need to make a move. They did a great job of being able to kind of hold their water when they lost Justin Steele.
Okay.
But unfortunately, Shota Imanaga got hurt. And it's taken a long time for him to come back. He'll be back on Wednesday.
It's a long injury.
That was a long recovery injury. And again, mainly because he'd never had that kind of injury before. I think they were very careful about it. And the guys that filled in bought them time. But it feels like the time is a ticking. And it's time for him to come back, thankfully. And that would mean that they've got to start reassembling.
And the Cubs have been publicly very vague, intentionally so, yes, about what they plan to do to replace him in the rotation. I can't imagine internally they are this conflicted. I think they probably have a plan in place in their minds that they just are reluctant to share publicly because of just the tendency to not want to have it debated as we're debating it, maybe. What other reason could there be? The Cubs can't be this unsure. I don't think – are they going start-to-start going?
I think Craig Counsell said it really well. He basically said that they have a good idea of what they're going to do, but things change on a daily basis. So, in other words, I think what he was saying is that they know exactly who they're moving, but – they want to make sure that no one gets hurt or nothing changes in what they're look. And we said big game for Ben Brown.
And it is a big game for Ben Brown tonight. But I think also that's in reference to, you know, counsel's caution. Matthew Boyd took a shot and he had
and he's apparently he might miss
afterward.
One game. Right?
Maybe that's
maybe
why
he
it's start to start. And Craig Counsell, to his credit, does not get caught up in this, well, you're the number four starter, so we're going to start you in this day, and you're the number five starter, you're my long reliever, you're my short reliever. None of the relievers were very good over the weekend, but I think they have been good so far this season, but Counsell does not get caught up in just being locked in and that kind of structured having to have a fifth starter every fifth day of the same guy. He's flexible. I think he's keeping his options open.
Right. And I think that's understandable because things do change and you don't want to make announcements before they have to be made just because this is technically a demotion for someone, whether they see it that way or not.
They'll see it that way.
They will.
Don't you think if you're one of those five guys?
If I'm getting demoted, I know I'm getting demoted.
Well, if I'm going to the bullpen and I'm Colin Ray, and that may be the likely. If Ben Brown comes out tonight and gives the Cubs 5 1/3 innings, gives up 2 runs, and keeps them in the game and has that dreaded, Dustin hates the term, quality start, then Ben Brown's probably going to keep his spot.
What if he gives up 4 runs in the first 2 innings and stays in the game but doesn't do what Mr. David requires from an Aaron Savaia?
But what if he eats up the innings? Well, you know what? The way baseball is these days, if he eats up innings and still gives up 4 runs in 2 innings, the first two, but stays in there till the seventh, then he's coming back for another start. You got to respect the grit.
Let's try Tony. Tony's in Wonder Lake. Hey, Tony.
Hey, good morning, guys. Nice to talk to you again, obviously. Watching the ball game yesterday, the Sox, Teal has a lot of potential. A lot of the tools are there that you need in a catcher, but I'm going to tell you something that bothers me. The way he crouches behind the plate causes him to miss some good framing opportunities. He cost the pitcher at least one strike yesterday. It was especially the one in the seventh inning. He threw a slider that was in the zone, but because of the way he's crouching behind the plate, he was forced to reach for that high pitch, and his glove was going up instead of back into the strike zone. Whereas if you're in a traditional crouch, you're able to get on top of that ball and frame it properly. And the other thing is he's very jumpy at the plate. I know he's excited, this and that, but he's got to learn to channel that energy and calm down behind the plate and in the batter's box. So just an observation.
Okay.
See what you guys think.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate the phone call. I think the observation about Kyle Teal behind the plate is valid. He does not have a lot of experience catching just because of his age and in professional baseball. And when you look at his maybe he's a little fidgety, and he's not going to be as great of a framer as some guys who are less fidgety. I just think that's the way you describe. He's got a lot of nervous energy. I don't mind that at the plate. He's definitely a natural hitter. The swing is nothing I would mess with. But behind the plate, maybe tone it down a little.
I love the term fidgety. I think it's great.
And you know, it's something to keep an eye on. And he's no longer catches, but we're going to see Wilson Contreras tonight against the Cubs. We saw enough of him last week against the White Sox. When he first came up, he had similar tendencies. He was a guy that had so much nervous energy. He's so animated that his framing maybe was not as good as it got to be. But that was also something that always maybe limited him defensively. Something to keep an eye on.
100 years ago, we were on a night out after a Bulls game, and we were renaming the Seven Dwarfs. And there were two that I thought were excellent. One was fidgety, just because you could see a dwarf being fidgety, like sneezy.
Yeah.
The other was bookie. The idea that you had a guy who was just constantly laying
making
on.
Bets.
Oh, my God. Be hilarious.
Bookie. One of the Seven
Bookie
Dwarfs.
And fidgety. Those are two of my favorite of the renamed dwarfs from that night on the town. Our session out. All right. We've got Bruce. Bruce Levine will join us next, and we will go over all these issues with him. Maybe we can try to get is 3-4 acceptable? Maybe we'll ask him if you wind up with a week like that, is that potentially disastrous, or is that pretty good considering opponents? Do we look at it that way? It's Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Baseball.
Bruce
Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce asked the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a joy to talk to our dear friend Bruce Levine. He joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, new tires? Yes, get them now, aturo.com. Hey, Bruce, how are you?
Hey, good morning. Welcome back, Mully.
Thank you, buddy.
We missed you over the weekend. We missed you Friday. That was... Hope you had a great holiday over the weekend. But where do you want to begin today? Cubs, Sox?
I think we got to begin with the Cubs because they've already lost 9 games this month, which is equal to the last 2 months, and obviously ended up having really good months. But this one looks like it's going to be more difficult. Obviously, you just lose a series to a team in the Mariners that come in. They were hovering around 500. Now they're 2 games over. It's just the kind of team that you need to beat, because now you go on the road starting tonight. You got a 4-game set in St. Louis. You go to Houston. It could be a difficult week. And by the way, the Brewers are 3 in the hook behind you. They're not going anywhere. They're sticking around, and you kind of felt like the Cubs had more breathing room.
Well, here's the good news. The Cubs are 22-6 this year against sub 500 teams. Well, they're not going to be playing those for a while. Mm-hmm. They're 24-25 against 500 plus teams. So if you want to break it down this season and their struggles, right now they're not playing that well against the better teams. So you're going into St. Louis, like you said. A pretty hot team that's only 3.5, as you said, behind. You have Houston, who's playing the best in the American League West. So you're going to have your A game. Your pitchers are going to have to start coming around. The bottom of your batting order is going to have to start hitting. That's the one thing that's really been missing here over the last 2 or 3 weeks, maybe a little bit more, the fact that the bottom of the order for the Cubs was equal to the top of the order as far as production, when PCA was hitting 7th, and you had Kelly doing his thing along with Amaya down there, that was a big part of the offense. You're not getting that right now.
Bruce, what is the status of Matthew Boyd, and how will that factor into the decision of how to replace Shota Imanaga in the rotation?
Yeah, he was doing really well yesterday, so no more protection on that area. They're still working on it, but he might get backed up. Okay, so he's not going on the IL, but he might get backed up with Imanaga coming back. And Council did admit to the fact that they might go to a 6-man rotation one time through to accommodate Imanaga. It depends on how Boyd bounces back and where they figure he comes in. If he has to miss some time, maybe he starts in Houston on Friday after the 4-game series with St. Louis. So a lot of moving parts with Imanaga coming back, and no guaranteed day when Imanaga is going to pitch from Council yet. They're going to talk to him, try to pin him down all weekend. He said, yeah, he's back with us. We'll see him in St. Louis, and he wouldn't say the date that he's going to pitch.
Yeah, that's interesting. It'll be Wednesday or Thursday, though, right? I mean, we are anticipating. He may not be returning to the rotation yet.
No, I mean they're going to look at him. I mean, do we know? He pitched on Friday, so you know the right consensus is what you just said. That makes the most sense. Wednesday or Thursday, plenty of rest. Friday would be an entire week, you know, off. I don't know if that makes any sense. He's going to throw on the side. They're going to see him for the first time for a little while since he's been rehabbing. So they want to get a handle on it. That is, you know, one of the situations here. It's the good news because he pitched really well on Friday, came out of it, got enough pitches. So he's good to go in the major leagues. The other complications are who comes out of that rotation after that one time through. Is it Ben Brown? Does Do you go with Ray going back to the bullpen? Which bullpen guy goes to the minor leagues or is released? They don't have options on almost the entire bullpen. So you have a situation there where, you know, what do you do? It's a good problem to have that you have too many pitchers, but it's a little convoluted right now.
So, Bruce, we had a good conversation Saturday morning with Sammy Sosa and inside the clubhouse. You were there all weekend and saw the way the crowd reacted, the way Sammy navigated through Wrigley Field for the first time in 21 years. A lot of mixed feelings, too. We know that those exist because we heard from some of those people on Saturday as well as we have this morning. How would you sum up the weekend of Sammy's return?
Well, in Sammy's mind, it's hopefully the beginning of being accepted back not only by Cub fans, the Ricketts family, Chicago, but all of baseball. You know, the comment that he made to your question on our show about him and Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds getting another look after the Pete Rose situation and the taking away the suspension from Major League Baseball and Pete Rose opening up the possibility of him going into the Hall of Fame. That was eye-opening. It really was. And Mike, what do you think? I mean, we had our opinion on Saturday. Do you think baseball and baseball writers and the Hall of Fame take a different look at those players as well? Is there a softening for them as well?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it a little bit earlier, Bruce. I personally think it's a totally separate. You know, there's a huge difference between the thing that happened with Pete Rose, the gambling, and the way that he refused to acknowledge it and all of that versus steroids and the era. And, at some point, I believe they will come up with some way of dealing with the steroid guys and of that era. But I have not – I think the relying on the writers to just sort of be the guards, the guardians at the gate of the Hall of Fame, which I think is unfair. And I wish Major League Baseball would determine something. And I like the idea of having like a steroid wing or some sort of way of acknowledging it without acknowledge, but you got to be completely forthright. I also think baseball is as responsible as anybody else for letting that happen and go on, et cetera, not sniffing it out earlier. But I do think it's a problem. And I'm not a Sammy guy personally. And when I saw it, it's like, I'm not sure what's changed. I'm not sure if he's taken any responsibility or any of the things that were kind of laid out that he needed to do to be welcome back to have actually happened. Other than the passage of time, I'm not sure what has occurred, but I don't know, Bruce. I just wonder if, clearly Sammy now knows that if you just wait it out, it will all will be forgiven. So I think that will be his strategy now.
I think the interesting thing is that Sammy attached himself to Rose along with the other supposed, and that in that in itself is, hey, we have a problem here with the steroids era. We were great players. We're not being recognized. We were the best players in the steroids era, but we were far from the only ones that did it, right? So the recognition for the guys that are already in the Hall of Fame that did steroids as well, very cloudy. I mean, there's more than just suspicion. There's knowledge that, you know, they were just as dirty as some of the other guys that did steroids during that era. So if it was more clear cut, I would be with you. But acknowledging the greatest players in the game is part of what the Hall of Fame's about. So as you said, I think there has to be some way down the line that these players are acknowledged, whether they go in to the same wing or something else. I'm with you.
They're very different issues, Pete Rose and the steroid era guys, but I do think the only thing that connects them is that if there is a softening on behalf of Major League Baseball, and Rob Manfred, then that is relevant. But I don't know that, anybody can predict that, but I do think Sammy's answer was interesting. Bruce, let's switch to the White Sox because they had a big weekend. They did something they hadn't done since 2019 in Toronto. They won a series. They did something yesterday they hadn't done in 38 previous games. They came back after the seventh inning. What do you make of the White Sox weekend in Toronto?
Well, the pitching continues to be really good, okay? They have good pitching. And, you know, adding Hauser and Savali, that fortifies that for the young guys that they're going to start watching innings over the second half of the season and their ability. You know, they're going to want to make sure they don't get injured, but at the same time continue on their track to being good major league pitchers. So the one thing that they want to come out of this year with is good young pitching that's not injured, that continues on, and then to hopefully add with, you know, more money being spent on free agents, add a couple of really good hitters to their young hitters that are coming along. We've been able to see Teal and Quero and hopefully Montgomery at some point, and that is the track that they have to be on to add offense. You know, this is the third worst team in baseball in scoring runs, so they have to add to that. You can't depend on pitching to win every night. The good news is they played really well against 500 plus teams. They're 15-26 against teams that are under 500, 10-27 for the year. So no rhyme or reason to that other than they've upticked. They can be in games. We've watched over the first half here, now almost 80 games. The White Sox stay in a lot of games this year that they weren't in last year.
I'm curious, when you see the 10 rookies and the way that they have impacted the team, it seems very promising, but you also just have to wonder at what point, you know, Montgomery adds to the mix. Like, at what point do they say, you know, we can't keep lining up a guy like Vinny Capra, with no offense to Vinny Capra, that sounds
none
like,
taken.
Yeah, Vinny, you just don't belong in Major League Baseball.
No, none taken there.
No offense.
No offense.
But I mean, honestly, is he going to get better? Is he going to exactly? It's not a Capra-esque story, is it? But I am curious. They still have some guys that probably you could upgrade from. Are they going to do that, or are they more looking toward trying to build something for later on?
You know, the question that you asked me rather than answering it directly is, what do you want to see in the second half?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want better one and loss, or do you want a projection of younger players that you can look at in 2027 or 26 rather and say, you know, here is a base for our offense. Here's, you know, we have Teal, we have Quero, we have Montgomery. They're going to be starters for us going forward, not just in 25, but or 26, but beyond that. So those players are just not identifiable right now. The guys that are going to hit a lot of home runs, drive-in runs, not identifiable right now for the Chicago White Sox. You can't win in Major League Baseball without slug, okay? You just can't do it. And there's nothing points out that more other than the fact that the Cubs, when they're homering right now, that's the only way they're winning games. Over the last 3 weeks, you know, 67% of all their runs have come via the home run ball. So with that in mind, you look back at the White Sox and you go, who's going to hit a home run on this team? I mean, you know, they have to get some slug. And if they're going to spend any money at all next year, it's going after a slugger or two to fortify what looks like good young pitching coming. Before you guys let me go,
okay,
the Cubs are looking at adding that pitcher that we've been talking about. And it appears they're getting closer to identifying some of these teams that are out of it that want to trade. So I wouldn't be shocked over the next week or 10 days, much before the trading deadline, maybe as early as this week, that they make a move for another starting pitcher.
Hold on.
Yeah.
This week. You think the Cubs could make a move?
They could.
Yeah, so, Bruce, absolutely. You come into the show, you come into the program, you ask us, what do you want to lead with? That's what we want to lead with.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's your show. It's not mine.
But you're our guy.
Bruce, are we talking maybe a certain former Cy Young winner from Miami, or is it more likely to be Aaron Savalle?
More likely a guy that we can't all identify that's a good young veteran pitcher, and I'm working hard to try to identify that right now.
Bruce, great work. I think that's very interesting. Is this a little bit, we will let you go, but is this a little bit earlier than you anticipated?
No. They're going for it. They're proactive. I mean, the other part of that is, you know, with all due respect to Matt Shaw and how he's playing third base.
Great point.
You know, do you add a right-handed hitting third baseman?
Got to consider it.
And is that a bigger part of a trade? So those are the things we should keep our eye on.
Great stuff, Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys.
You had a good weekend.
That is Bruce breaking news here.
Yeah, really interesting. He's been working hard. He's mining some sources. He knows everybody. And if that's something they're getting close to, they still may not execute it. It's fun to consider, though.
312-644-6767. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Before you guys let me go,
okay.
The Cubs are looking at adding that pitcher that we've been talking about, and it appears they're getting closer to identifying some of these teams that are out of it that want to trade. So I wouldn't be shocked over the next week or 10 days, much before the trading deadline, maybe as early as this week, that they make a move for another starting pitcher.
This week, you think the Cubs could make a move?
They could.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. What do you think happens first, David? Shota comes back or the Cubs get a new pitcher?
I think Shota coming back.
Okay.
That's a sure thing, but it does make you wonder about the reluctance to lock in a spot in the rotation, to make a move before they have to make another move. And you wonder if the delay, if you want to call it that, that's us terming it a delay, is related to maybe some behind-the-scenes maneuvering or calls or potentially getting close to a deal that Bruce is alluding to. But 505 is exactly right, the texter that chimes in, Mully. I'm sorry, guys. I don't think telling rumors is breaking news. That would be that it happened. Saying it might happen also means it might not.
Can I just read you this? This is from Bob Nightingale's column yesterday.
Okay.
Said the Chicago Cubs are quietly preparing for the official announcement that they will host the 2027 All-Star Game now that the stadium is getting upgraded security measures. That happened last week. Bruce told us that they were going to get that All-Star Game, what, like 5 months ago, 4 months ago, something like that?
So you're connecting the dots to
this? I'm saying that Bruce is following, like, he had breaking news.
He's prescient.
That hasn't broken yet. And now he's kind of, I trust Bruce.
I do too.
That they're going to make a move in the next 10 days because he just told us that.
Well, I trust that he has good information here.
That's what I'm saying.
And that they're getting close, perhaps. Now, you know how trades are.
Yes.
You can get close and then for whatever reason, things outside of your control can happen. But it is encouraging. We can go that far.
There
it is encouraging that the Cubs realize what's going on here.
They see everything that you see.
Yes.
They know exactly what you know.
And frankly, Jed's transparency implied to me, we talked about this, a sense of confidence that he will be able to get something done. Otherwise, you're not that open as an executive about your intentions, because you only are that intentional intentional about sharing what you want to do and, frankly, what you need to do if you're confident that you can pull it off.
And I agree.
I think they can pull it off, too. I'd be fascinated, though, because if it's not Alcantara, if it's not the Marlins, then all of a sudden, who are we talking about here?
Yeah. Well, there is that moment of like, you know.
Zach Gallen, can you stay in Chicago after you pitch against the White Sox on Wednesday? Would you mind staying here and, you know,
meeting
the Cubs in Houston?
I don't think it can be him, because I think that if you look at the standings, there seem to be six teams that it is. It's the White Sox, the A's, and the AL, the Rockies, the Pirates, the Nationals, and the Marlins, and the NL. Those six teams are officially, in my opinion, not
totally
make out.
Okay,
playoffs.
Of those six teams,
yes.
Then I think that's an interesting way to look at it. Do you think that it would be limited to teams that have already been eliminated?
I do. That's what I'm
saying. We're being highly speculative here, and this is what we have the luxury of being.
We're following the breadcrumbs that we've been thrown for us.
Okay, that's good. So there's some breadcrumbs out there. So those teams, of those teams, we've already maybe said it maybe isn't Alcantara, because Bruce said maybe it wouldn't be.
Maybe it wouldn't be.
I think that Andrew Heaney from the Pirates comes to mind as a guy who the Cubs just saw who could be on the block and might be somebody who fits the category of the profile. He's older, he's left-handed, he's a guy that the Pirates don't need, and might be somebody who fills the spot every fifth day. I don't think that's going to be something that puts you over the top, but a guy like that might be somebody who Bruce might be alluding to.
Look. That is just a guess, and we're limiting it to six teams because those are the six teams that we know are available to trade. You have already rejected Aaron Savalle, even though I'm trying hard.
Oh, my gosh. If it's him,
you're
going to be insufferable.
Oh my God.
You'll be wearing a Savalle jersey.
I'm going to be insufferable whether it is him or not. Let's be honest about it.
But if you called this and you called it last week, and I was like, yeah.
No, you are repulsed by the idea.
I'm not repulsed.
I'm just saying he's available.
I think they can do better.
Well, hopefully they do better. But it would also be nice if that guy gets traded this week. And that's not being mean.
Germán Márquez is another guy from Colorado.
Okay, that's a good
one. So I'm giving you another name. You mentioned the six teams, and we're looking at the losers, basically, from the discard pile. He's 30 years old. He's a guy that is not having a great year numbers-wise, but he might be a guy that can go to the mound and change his trajectory of the season, given all this.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.